If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Psalm chapter 11, verse 3, a word for 4th of July weekend, Psalm chapter 11 and verse 3. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? And let's pray. Lord, it seems like so many things in America today are being destroyed and taken out. You look at a nation, Lord, that's being racked by all kinds of division. Lord, people who are totally opposite of what you intended, Lord, as far as this country goes and as far as the dreams that our patriots had, exactly what the song was talking about. I pray that you just teach us this morning how we need to rebuild those foundations, what we need specifically to do, Lord, to bring this nation back on the foundation of God and right and wrong. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Ever since 1926, a statue of George Washington stood on the front yard of the German-American Society in Portland, Oregon. Until last June the 19th, when after three straight weeks of rioting over the death of George Floyd, protesters threw an American flag on that statue, set the flag on fire, spray-painted genocidal colonists on that statue, and then tore it down. So folks, there is the father of your country face down in the dirt with the foundation destroyed. And everybody is wondering, what in the name of God bless America is going on with our country? Well, sadly enough, what happened to that statue is exactly the same thing that's going on with America right now. God, Bible, Constitution, founding fathers, everything that made this nation great and a light to the world is all bad. Everything needs to go. The foundations are being destroyed right in front of our very eyes. But the text we have in front of us this morning tells us what we need to do about it. We turn today to Psalm chapter 11. When David wasn't king of Israel yet, because Saul still was. But Saul was disobeying God and killing priests and trying to kill David too. So the foundations were being destroyed in Israel as well. And David's people just kept telling him to run away. But the Lord was telling him exactly the same thing that the Holy Spirit is telling us right now. Stay put and start rebuilding those foundations all over again. Our text this morning, Psalm chapter 11, verse 3, tells us three things that we need to do to rebuild those foundations, those age-old foundations for our country and our faith in God. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do in order to rebuild those foundations, we need to remember. We need to remember what those foundations are because they're being forgotten today. We need to remember that America was founded on God. Because America is all about freedom, and God is all about freedom too. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said this, "The Declaration of Independence says, in the course of human events, so our freedom came from the course of human events." So what? Like, our freedom just evolved from like a gobbledygook or something? No. Our freedom came from God because all freedom comes from God. All real freedom especially. Our nation was founded on God because it was founded on the Word of God. You can't read hardly anything that the founding fathers wrote without eventually starting to read Scripture. Because the Bible was the number one book that they quoted. Not Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx. Not Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky or The Room Where It Happened by John Bolton, but the Bible. Now, does that mean that we Americans are God's chosen people? No, of course not, because we do not have an everlasting covenant with God like Israel does. But, just like Israel, we were founded by God. A U.S. House Judiciary Committee said this in 1854, "There can be no substitute for Christianity in America because America was founded on the God of Christianity, and our founders expected their descendants to always look to God so America would remain universally Christian." So regardless of what Barack Obama says, America is a Christian nation. God, my country, 'tis of thee. America was founded on our founding fathers who believed in God. And we fight this argument all the time. Atheists claiming all the founding fathers were just deists. Because all they ever look at is Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. But what about all the rest of them? 52 of the 55 signers of the Declaration of Independence were real Christians and members of established Christian churches. And some of them, like John Witherspoon, were even ordained ministers. And even Thomas Jefferson, deist that he was when he was president, held worship services, Christian worship services, in the U.S. Capitol building. So put that in your separation of church and state pipe and smoke it. You say, but Kevin, it doesn't matter because all of our founding fathers pushed slavery. No, they didn't. Folks, slavery wasn't started in America by our founding fathers. It was imposed on the American colonies by England over 200 years before. But Thomas Jefferson started introducing legislation to abolish slavery as early as 1774. And other founding fathers like Benjamin Rush and Benjamin Franklin and John Jay started all kinds of anti-slavery societies. Lots of founding fathers gave up their slaves after the Revolutionary War was over. And some of them, like John Adams, never owned slaves at all. And the reason that slavery was not abolished in America before the Revolutionary War is because too many southern colonies would have never voted for independence if it had been. And abolition would have been meaningless without independence. You say, but Kevin, George Washington owned slaves. Yeah, but do you honestly think they put up statues of George Washington all over the place in America because he owned slaves? No, it's because of what he did for this country. Our founding fathers weren't perfect, but they knew where to find perfection in the laws of nature and nature's God that they tried to follow and live by. Our nation was founded on the founding documents. The Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. The Declaration of Independence explains why we became a nation, and then the U.S. Constitution gives us the bylaws for how it's supposed to work. And if you ever read those documents, you will find out in a hurry. All the main principles that shape our government come directly from the Bible. All men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, straight from Scripture. So our rights come from God and not government, which means it's government's job just to acknowledge those rights and to protect them. And our Constitution has a whole long list of amendments that tell you what government can't do to you. So limited government with limited power. And again, from Scripture, the idea that by the power of the Holy Spirit and human reason, people can actually govern themselves. But again, from Scripture, because people are sinful, government power is divided in three different branches with a system of checks and balances. You say, but Kevin, the word God isn't even mentioned anywhere in the Constitution. Yeah, on purpose. Because our founding fathers weren't going to do what Europe did and create a state-run religion. So even though the founding fathers obviously believed that Americans should be Christians, they realized it was believers' job to win people to Christ, not government. And that's why the First Amendment gives us Christians every right that we need to do that. People, do we understand how incredibly unique the U.S. Constitution is? Personal expression of religious beliefs. Personal property rights. Right to a fair trial. No other nation in the world had all of those things. The average lifespan of a nation's constitution in world history is 17 years. Our constitution has been around for 244 years. And you know why? Because it was founded on God. Our nation was founded on the sacrifice of many, many, many Americans. Here's just a little bit of the sacrifice that our founding fathers paid when they signed up for independence. Five of the founding fathers were captured and tortured before their death. Many had wives and sons captured and tortured and killed. Nine fought in the Revolution and died from wounds received. Two of them lost sons in battle. Most of them had farms and businesses confiscated or burned and wound up bankrupt and poor because independence cost them everything they had. In the 244-year history of the United States, over 1.1 million Americans sacrificed their lives fighting for this country because freedom isn't free. And God help us if we ever forget the price that they paid for it. Like they did. In case you don't know, the bloodiest day in American history was not 9/11 2001 or June 6, 1944. It was September 17th, 1862, when the most U.S. soldiers were killed at the worst bloodletting of the entire Civil War. The Union and Confederate armies met at a place called Antietam because Southern General Robert E. Lee had marched up into Maryland to keep the Union out of the Shenandoah Valley during harvest time and to try to influence the upcoming election. But some Union soldiers found a copy of General Lee's battle plans wrapped around some cigars. And Union General George McClellan realized he could crush Lee's entire army that was already fighting without shoes and starving to death. And the battle took place in three different stages. Stage one took place in a cornfield, with both sides literally cutting each other to pieces. So many soldiers killed that riders could not pass through that cornfield without their horses stepping on human heads and arms and legs and torsos. And so much blood was spilled, that field continues to produce 300 plus bushel corn every single year, even to this day. Stage two took place along what's called the Sunken Road, with Union soldiers trying to fight their way up that road to a ridge, with fire coming at them from above. One New York brigade lost 450 men in less than 5 minutes. And even though the Union eventually did take that hill, it was said that there were so many dead bodies laying around, you could literally walk on those bodies any direction as far as your eye could see without your feet actually touching the ground. Stage three took place in the afternoon, with the Union trying to move against the Confederate right flank by crossing a stone bridge about 125 feet long. But 500 Georgia snipers sitting up in the bluffs behind that bridge killed one out of three Union soldiers who set foot on it. But the Union eventually did take that bridge, which meant Robert E. Lee had to retreat back across the Potomac River. The Union declared victory, and President Abraham Lincoln used that win to announce the Emancipation Proclamation, freeing all black slaves in rebel territory. So the Battle of Antietam was a good thing. But do you know how many soldiers died at that battle? 23,000. 23,000 soldiers in less than 12 hours. And in spite of that proclamation, the Civil War wound on for another three bloody years. And the body count of the battles is enough to curl your hair. Gettysburg, 51,118 over 3 days. Chickamauga, 34,624 over 2 days. Chancellorsville, 30,500 over 4 days. Spotsylvania, 31,086 over 14 days. Stones River, 23,746. Second Bull Run, 18,300. Cold Harbor, 17,332. I could go on and on and on. Early on, President Abraham Lincoln told Frederick Douglass the Civil War was all about ending slavery. And Lincoln realized it wasn't about capturing cities or conquering territory. It was about the North constantly fighting the South and killing Confederate soldiers. Because the North could replace their losses, the South couldn't. Lincoln called it doing the arithmetic, and it was an absolute meat grinder. And when the Civil War was over, over 600,000 American soldiers were dead. One out of every 10 white men ages 20 to 40 in the North, and one out of every 3 white men ages 16 to 45 in the South, dead. Including 23,000 in one day at Antietam. So don't tell me that slavery hasn't already been paid for. The first thing that we need to do to rebuild those foundations, we need to remember. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing that we need to do to rebuild those foundations. We not only need to remember, we also need to restore. We need to restore those foundations because everybody and his brother today is trying to tear them down. And a lot of it is in your face. The leader of Black Lives Matter in New York, a guy named Hawk Newsom, said this: if the U.S. doesn't give us what we want, then we'll burn down this system and replace it. See, Black Lives Matter is Marxist, which means their number one concern is not skin color, it's economic inequality. So that phrase, all people are created equal, to them means that everybody should have all the same equal things. Same income, same money, same house, same car. And if they don't have those things, if it's not all the same, it's not because of morality or lifestyle choices. No, no. It's because every single thing about America is systemically racist and purposely screwed them out of it. So America and everything that built it, Christianity, the Constitution, capitalism, is all racist and needs to go. And if you don't hate America and Christianity and the Constitution and capitalism, you're racist and you need to go too. But not until you give them everything you have. Because you really stole it from them anyway. And if you don't cough it up, they'll put a gun to your head or beat it out of you. And in case you don't know, that's Marxism. Not limited government with limited power, but unlimited government with unlimited power to take away everything you have. And even though it's a lot more subtle, it's exactly the same things that liberal progressive politicians have been working for in America for decades now. And here's just some of the things that they're pushing today. Rewriting the Constitution, redefining the First Amendment, repealing the Second Amendment, exchanging socialism for capitalism, eliminating the Electoral College, making the District of Columbia the 51st state so they can have two more liberal senators, flooding America with illegal aliens, with open borders and eliminating ICE, totally unrestricted abortion even after the baby is born, unlimited LGBT rights, the Green New Deal, confiscatory taxes. I could go on and on. Anything to crash the system that's in place right now. Like defunding the police and breathlessly reporting the number of COVID-19 infections that's constantly going up without ever reporting the COVID-19 death rate that's constantly going down. All the way down to 0.0005% now for healthy people with no pre-existing conditions. All the Americans who protested the government lockdown, they were enemies of the state. They wanted to kill grandma. But all the people protesting with Black Lives Matter, they're freedom fighters. Just like the Boston Tea Party, the media said. Are you kidding me? Folks, what we're seeing now is another Bolshevik revolution, only this time it's being fought on the streets of America and in both houses of Congress. And they're trying to get away with it by erasing all history that proves that their movement is bogus. All the talk about racism in the history of America, 1619 Project, not one single word about all the black people in colonial America who were totally free citizens and owned their own businesses and served in government offices. Not one word about how a lot of the heroes of the Revolutionary War were free black soldiers. Not one word about how many black people always had the right to vote in Massachusetts and all kinds of other colonies. Never reported. Never. They're trying to erase history by tearing down monuments and statues. Right now, Black Lives Matter wants to destroy the Emancipation Memorial in Washington, D.C. that has President Abraham Lincoln holding a copy of the Emancipation Proclamation in one hand with his other hand on the head of a freed black slave. Dedicated in 1876 and totally, gladly, willfully paid for by freed black slaves who wanted that memorial there. And why are the activists trying to tear it down? Because it doesn't fit their narrative that America's never done one blessed thing to put an end to slavery. 2 weeks ago, President Donald Trump was asked by a reporter, "Are you glad that the South lost the Civil War?" Because the implication is, if you're a Republican, you're automatically racist. Do you know why Democrats are trying to erase history? Because history proves Democrats are the party of racism. And slavery, and Jefferson Davis, and lynchings, and Jim Crow, and segregation. So they're not only trying to erase history, they're trying to rewrite it as well. So if you want to destroy something that's racist, how about destroying the Democratic Party? Or at least the kook fringe left that's trying to trash this country. Erasing history. Everything is cancel culture today. The movie Gone with the Wind is now Gone with the Wind. That book Huckleberry Finn, out. To Kill a Mockingbird, out. Even though it's the story of a black man unjustly accused of rape who gets exonerated. 4th of July, that's just a celebration of white supremacy. And real estate agents, so many of them today are not even using the phrase master bedroom because they're afraid the word master will remind some people of slavery and offend them. Folks, it's like a Soviet-style purge that's going on in America right now. And what's the result of all the destruction? People's God-given constitutional rights and freedoms are being destroyed too. Last Sunday night, St. Louis, Missouri, Central West End, Mark and Patricia McCloskey had just sat down to eat outside their house, had a mansion, their personal injury attorneys, very wealthy, when all of a sudden, over 100 people in a mob ripped down the wrought iron gates in front of their property and started tramping across their yard. They were on their way to the mayor's house a block and a half away to protest there, thought they'd take a shortcut. And when Mark McCloskey reminded them that they were on private property, they threatened to kill him and his wife and their kids and their dog. So the McCloskeys ran back in their house and got an AR-15 and a handgun and held that mob at gunpoint until they finally agreed to leave and take off. So, obviously it's a case of private citizens exercising their God-given constitutional rights to protect their lives and their property, right? Wrong. Because the DA in St. Louis right now is trying to charge them with violent assault on peaceful protesters and keeping the protesters from exercising their First Amendment rights of free speech. People, what universe are we living in right now? And you know why this is happening? When a society acknowledges God, there is liberty and justice for all. When a society does not acknowledge God, there is no liberty or justice at all for anybody. And the question is, us American Christians, what are we supposed to do about it? Well, just like David here, you don't run away. We start rebuilding those age-old foundations all over again. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12. Too many Americans today have absolutely no clue about American history or how our government works. 60% of Americans can't name the countries who fought in World War II. Less than 1/4 of Americans know George Washington was the first president. Only 26% can name all three branches of government. Only 1/3 can name any branch of government. Less than 1/3 of all Americans couldn't pass a basic citizenship test. People, it's pathetic. So parents, you start rebuilding the foundations in your own house by teaching your own kids what America is really all about. There's young people sitting in this room right now listening to this sermon. You go to college one of these days, you're going to have a progressive professor who's going to try to teach you to hate this country. Listen to me. Don't you dare swallow the propaganda. You rebuild that foundation in your own heart and your own mind. You rebuild the foundation by speaking up and pushing back with your own friends and family members and relatives, where you work and where you go to school. Speak the truth and share the gospel, the most important thing of all. Here at Fox River Church, we have an American flag that sits on the platform in the front of our sanctuary. And we say the Pledge of Allegiance and we sing the national anthem from time to time. Every year we take a whole worship service and devote it to honor our military veterans. And not because we're white nationalists, but because God made us Americans. So we love this country, salute the flag, bow down to no man, and kneel only to God. We're trying to rebuild the age-old foundations. And people, if we are ever, ever, ever going to restore those foundations, somebody has got to stand up, start standing up for what's right. And praise God they did. Last June the 23rd, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker announced that all schools in the state of Illinois would be allowed to reopen as long as they followed the guidelines from the Illinois State Board of Education and the Illinois Department of Public Health that requires the wearing of face masks by students and teachers. But then 2 days later, Parkview Christian Academy up in Yorkville sent a letter to the governor through their attorney informing him they would be reopening in August, but they would not be requiring their students and teachers to wear face masks. Thank you very much. And why? Because in the 63 pages of guidelines that the state sent that school, there is not one reference anywhere to one single thing in the U.S. Constitution or the Illinois State Constitution or the Illinois Department of Public Health Act that says the state has any authority at all to tell schools what to do when it comes to a virus. And the Illinois State Legislature has never, ever passed a law requiring people to wear face masks. So the governor has neither the authority or the ability to enforce those guidelines. So they're not rules, they're just recommendations. And partly it was saying, we choose to opt out. And they have every right to do that. And before anybody has a cow, remember, Parkview is not saying that COVID-19 is a hoax. They monitored that virus just like everybody else when they decided to close their school last March like everybody else did. And don't tell me they're not taking it seriously, because they are a Christian school that wants to honor Christ and protect their students and their teachers better than everybody else does. But they realize a teacher's job is hard enough as it is without worrying about all the kids in the classroom wearing a mask for 7 hours a day in class and lunch and PE and sports. And they also realize children are the least likely people of all to either get that virus or to transmit it to other people. So Parkview is going to come up with their own plan for reopening based on what they believe between them and the Lord is the best thing for their people. And God bless them for it. God bless them. Because there's absolutely nothing in the Constitution that says your constitutional rights can be totally set aside even during the time of emergency or a pandemic. And one of the foundations of our country is this. We are a nation of laws, not men. So when men violate those laws, like the governor and state officials have, we need to call them on it and stand up for truth. Because that is what's going to go a long way in restoring the foundations of this country. The second thing we need to do to rebuild those foundations, we need to restore. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to rebuild the foundations. We not only need to remember, we not only need to restore, but more than anything else, most importantly, we need to return. We need to return to the Lord and seek Him out with all of our heart and all of our soul. Because this year so far, America has taken one haymaker after the other. First, it was the COVID-19 pandemic and 130,000 dead Americans. Then it was the government shutdown. Then economic meltdown. 42 million Americans unemployed. Thousands of small businesses that are never going to reopen again. And then it was the killing of George Floyd and all the protests. And all the pillaging and all the plundering. And now, a big honking dust cloud from clear over in the Sahara Desert is descending on our country. Good gravy, people, what else are we going to have to worry about? And people can't take it anymore. One out of three Americans right now is either clinically depressed or suffering from clinical anxiety, according to psychologists. Gun sales are up 84% over last year. So forget about a shortage of toilet paper. How about ammo? And Joe Biden is running for president. Folks, in 40 years of ministry, I have worked with so many senior citizens who are suffering from dementia. And if that guy doesn't have it, he at least is suffering from some serious diminished mental capacities. And yet, he could still very well be elected president. Which means the people in the background who are really pulling all the strings will turn this country into one giant chop zone and the kind of nation that our founding fathers wanted to escape. People, we are up to our eyeballs right now in a fight for the very survival of our republic. So you better celebrate the 4th of July this weekend, because you don't know you're going to get another one. The freest, most prosperous nation in the history of the whole wide world is in the process of committing suicide and going up in flames. And why is all of this happening? Because America has forgotten God. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, any nation that forgets God will be destroyed. People, that's what we're fighting against right now. And don't tell me that we don't need to return to the Lord. We need to return to God because we've strayed away from Him. Which is exactly what our founding fathers warned us about over and over and over and over again. John Adams said this, "We have staked the whole of our nation on the capacity of mankind, aided by God, to control ourselves, govern ourselves, and sustain ourselves according to the Bible and the Ten Commandments." If people are ever going to be able to govern themselves as a nation, they first of all have to be able to control themselves as individuals. But we people can't do that. So God has to do it for us. Because only God can do it for us by working through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 23. That's why our founding fathers said over and over again, America would never survive without Christianity. John Adams said this, famous quote, "Our Constitution was made only for a religious and moral people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." It'll never work without Christ. The only sure foundation America can sit on is Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. But the problem is, we're blowing Him off too. Black Lives Matter now wants to start destroying Jesus statues all over America. And right now there's a push to replace the national anthem with that John Lennon song, Imagine. That says, once there's no borders or countries, once there's no God or Jesus, then the world will become utopia and one brotherhood of man. But history tells us over and over again, imagine anything you want to. Godless utopias always go one place, and that's hell on earth. Last June the 2nd, President Donald Trump stood out in front of St. John's Episcopal Church in Washington, D.C., right across from the White House in Lafayette Park, the scene of the worst rioting of all in that entire city, where looters started a fire that burned part of that church. And President Trump did that to show Americans, in spite of all the chaos and all the problems and all the fear, America's foundations are still strong. God, Bible, church. But of course, the media had an absolute meltdown. See, it's okay to torch a church. It's just not okay to hold up a Bible in front of a church, because that's a crime against humanity. God, help us people. Do we see how much we need the Lord to heal and save and unify this nation? The Lord is the only cure for racism, even though, sadly enough, He's being ignored there too. So much of the civil rights movement back in the 1950s and 1960s was based on the gospel and forgiveness and reconciliation. Martin Luther King said this, "It is only the Christian faith that can transform an enemy into a friend." And in case anybody doesn't remember, Martin Luther King was an ordained Baptist preacher. So his official title was Reverend Dr. King, Reverend Doctor. But you notice today when he's referred to, it's only Dr. King. Dr. King. And why? Because the whole Reverend Gospel part of it is totally gone. Black Lives Matter says America has racism in its DNA, so everything about America needs to be destroyed. Totally. Folks, their motto is no forgiveness, no reconciliation. So there's no possibility whatsoever of redemption, just destruction. See the sign that was spray painted on the wall out in Los Angeles? Kill all white people. No. You can't hate away hate. More racism is not going to solve other racism. Black supremacy is not going to start white supremacy. You're never going to solve racism by having white people shine the shoes of black people, like Dan Cathy says at Chick-fil-A. Reparations is not going to do it, because racism is not a financial problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's a problem of the heart. So you don't replace the system. You just replace people's hearts by letting the Lord give them a new heart and a new spirit. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. That's the only solution. We need to return to the Lord. We need to return to the Lord and pray. Because prayer, all throughout American history, has done some of the most mind-blowing, incredible things. Right before the Battle of Monongahela, French and Indian War, 1755, George Washington prayed to God for protection and then had two horses shot out from under him and had five bullets pass through his hat and his coat, and yet he himself was not even scratched. April 30th, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln declared a national day of prayer and fasting for the Civil War. 2 days later, after the Battle of Chancellorsville, Southern General Stonewall Jackson, the best battle commander the South ever had, was accidentally shot and killed by his own troops. And the South never recovered from the loss. June 6, 1944, D-Day. President Franklin Roosevelt, who was never accused of being a serious Christian, led the entire nation in prayer over the radio for the invasion of Europe. And by the end of the day, Allied forces had taken the beaches at Normandy and started that second front against Nazi Germany that eventually led to the end of the war. Over and over and over and over again, at the deepest, darkest moments in America's history, right when we needed it the most, God answered prayer, like He did then. 2 years into the Revolutionary War, September 1777, America needed a victory like nobody's business. The invasion of Canada had been a disaster. Washington had gotten trounced at Brandywine Creek. Continental Congress was fleeing New York. The British were occupying Philadelphia. And the Continental Army was sick and tired and beaten to a pulp. In September of 1777, the best general that England had, gentleman John Burgoyne, started leading 7,000 British troops south through New York, through the Hudson Valley, to meet up with British General Howe coming up from the south. They would meet at Albany, cut off New England from the rest of the colonies, end the rebellion once and for all, and America stops before she even gets started. So all kinds of God-fearing patriots were praying like crazy that something would happen. And something did. General Burgoyne was using Indians for scouts. And he also encouraged them to go out and kill colonists and terrorize colonists in the Hudson Valley, the ones that were anti-England. But the Indians didn't know which ones were anti or pro, so they ended up killing and scalping the fiancée of a British soldier. And that turned even more Americans against the British, and more of them joined the Continental Army. And when General Burgoyne went and told the Indians to try to tone it down, they got ticked off and left, leaving General Burgoyne and his entire army lost in the woods. And General Howe got lost in the woods too, coming up from the south. So General Burgoyne decided just to camp near Saratoga and wait for more supplies and reinforcements from Boston, while the Continental Army, just miles away, was getting bigger and bigger by the day. Now, the British ships that were supposed to resupply General Burgoyne and his army were down in Boston Harbor. But then, amazingly, miraculously, hurricane force winds, the likes of which Boston had never seen before, produced waves that were so high they literally pinned those ships to the dock. And no ship could even leave Boston Harbor for 3 solid weeks. So the supplies were never sent. So finally, September the 17th, General Burgoyne had horses dying for lack of forage. He decided he needed to break out at a battle called Freeman Farm. But the British suffered twice the number of casualties that the Continental Army did. So again, he pulled back and waited for supplies and reinforcements from Boston that never came. So finally, October the 7th, couldn't wait anymore. Again, General Burgoyne and his army tried to break out. But then General Benedict Arnold from the Continental Army charged his flank and cut the British to pieces. So for the first time in his military career, General John Burgoyne had to retreat to fight another day. But when his army started to move, amazingly, miraculously, mind-blowingly, torrential rain, the likes of which had never been seen before in that part of New York State, that time of the year turned all the roads to goo, slowing him down, giving the Americans enough time to cross the Hudson River and get in front of them. So finally, without reinforcements, without food, without supplies, with no animals, illustrious British General John Burgoyne had to surrender all 6,000 of his troops he had left to American General Horatio Gates. The first major full-scale surrender of the Revolutionary War. Folks, the British Army was the most powerful fighting force on the face of the earth in that day, and yet the Continental Army still beat him. And you know why? Because Benjamin Franklin said, there is a God who intervenes in the affairs of men. And the shock waves went all over the world. Because King Louis XVI of France heard about the victory of America at the Battle of Saratoga and finally started sending money and supplies to America that helped us win the Revolutionary War and become the nation that we are today. Historian James McPherson said this: the Battle of Saratoga was not only one of the greatest victories in the course of the Revolutionary War, it was also one of the most significant battles that determined the entire course of world history as well. Because had General Burgoyne been resupplied and able to break out or retreat, he links up with General Howe. They continue to press the demoralized Continental Army into surrender by early 1778, and America as we know it never exists. But that's not what happened. All subsequent world history was determined by one miraculous windstorm and one miraculous rainstorm, and the one who controls the wind and the rain is the same one who holds history in his hand, and he must have had a very special plan for America. So all you social justice warriors listening to this sermon right now, you need to understand something. We do not believe that America, as it was founded, needs to be saved and preserved because we're not woke or because we're not anti-racist. We believe that America, as it was founded, needs to be saved and preserved because time after time after time, God reached down and pulled our fat out of the fire and saved it and preserved it Himself. Sometimes through the very people whose statues that you are tearing down right now. And history proves that over and over again. If you would just read it instead of trying to erase it. That is why America has become the greatest, most powerful nation on the face of the earth in world history. Not because of racism, not because of slavery, not because of greed, not because of exploitation, not because of colonialism, but because of God. For His purposes. Psalm 118, verse 23, the Lord has done this. And it is marvelous in our eyes. And I realize there's a lot of Americans today who do not believe that and who don't accept it because they don't have any more to do with the Lord than the man in the moon. And that is the number one reason why we have a battle going on in America right now. A battle for the hearts and minds of people and a battle for the heart and the soul of this nation. But just like King David here, people, we can't run away because there is nowhere else in the world to go. If there is no freedom here in America, if there is no freedom here, there's freedom nowhere. This is the battle that God has brought to our feet. And we've got to fight it. And ultimately, it's a spiritual battle. So the most important thing we need to do is pray. We need to pray like the very future of this country depends on it. Because listen to me, it does. But we pray in faith. Because the foundations that this country is standing on and the foundations that we as Christians are standing on, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, are firm and secure. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. So I don't care what's going on in America right now. I don't care how scary it is. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care how hopeless some people may be about it. There is a God who intervenes in the affairs of men. God answered prayers for America before. He will answer prayers for America today. If we pray. So let's pray for our country. Lord, we realize, looking back at any kind of history at all, the incredible, miraculous things that You've done. This nation, the very existence of this nation is a miracle. Lord, the continued existence of this nation is a miracle. Not just that it was founded, but that it continued for 244 years. And Lord, we've had all kinds of people in this nation, people who wouldn't give You the time of day. Lord, this nation has sinned against You in so many ways. We have sinned against You in so many ways. And yet Your mercy and grace has sustained us and kept us going. Right now, Lord, we are in a battle for the survival of America. The very core, the very heart of what this nation is all about. You're calling on this nation to be a light for the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. That is being challenged today and fought against. And Lord, we just cry out to You today. We can do what we can do, Lord, but You have to do the rest. Because we cannot change people's hearts and minds. You have to do that. And we just ask and pray, Lord, that You would work, that there would be a revival in this nation that the world has never seen before. Many, many people, Lord, would open their eyes, not just to vote a certain way, but to hold You up as Lord and Savior. And just ask, Lord, that You would help us to search our hearts, show us what we need to do, what is our part. We know that duty is ours, results are Yours. We just ask, Lord, that You continue to preserve us by Your mercy. And Lord, as President Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address, this nation would have a new birth of freedom until You come again. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.